Sean Patrick Maloney has been in office since 2013. It seems like yesterday. New York's 18th district. Let's talk about the omnibus spending bill. What do you make of it?
Well, I voted against it, and it's not because it doesn't have all kinds of goodies in there. It does, and it does. It actually addresses some very important priorities like the opioid epidemic and some other things. But we passed a huge deficit-financed tax cut that was like a weekend in Vegas that you put on the credit card. We slashed corporate rates. 85% of the benefits went to the top 1% of our wealthiest citizens, and that's going to create a couple $1 trillion of additional debt on top of what we were already going to rack up over the next 10 years. And then on the heels of that, the Democrats and Republicans come along and they cook up this, what they call a bipartisan deal, where the Democrats get to spend a bunch more and the Republicans get to goose defense. And we've slashed our revenue in the tax bill. And so it's like, think about a family where the mom comes home who works and says, I don't want to work as hard. I'm going to go down to 50% of my schedule and make half as much. And the dad says, fine with me, but if you do that, I want to be able to spend twice as much. And she says, great, let's make a deal. You spend more, I'll make less. That's the deal they made in Washington between the Democrats and the Republicans. And you're going to get $2 trillion annual deficits starting in a couple of years. $1 trillion a year starting next year. We are going to bankrupt our country with this nonsense. And so while many of the individual things are very good, the overall plan is terrible. And I'm not going to be a party to it. I'm not going to be one of these Democrats that says, well, because we got a bunch of spending I like, I'm going to overlook these irresponsible tax cuts, or I'm going to overlook the overall fiscal health of the country. You know, I got kids. I don't want to leave them a pile of debt. We already are going to leave them a pile of debt. We're making it worse.
So when you shared that view, which I know you did, with your colleagues in conference, did they think you were a traitor?
You know, a lot of them voted against it because we were also abandoning the Dreamers. I mean, don't forget, it was also an opportunity to stand with these Dreamers who were promised a solution as part of the budget deal and got screwed. And our party walked away from them when we couldn't get it done. And the spending made some people feel like, you know, it was a deal worth taking. But I didn't want to abandon the Dreamers, and my bigger concern is the fiscal irresponsibility of the whole package. So yeah, look, sometimes I'm at odds with my own party. I think that's not my job. My job is not to go to Washington to figure out how I can just vote with all the other Democrats. I mean, certainly not from the district I represent. I think the people I represent want me to go down there and use my brain and my good sense and my some judgment and say, what the heck are we doing? How's it helped the Hudson Valley? And when you look at this thing, you know, the tax bill's terrible for New York. The spending has some good things in New York, but we're all going to be paying for it for years and years to come. We should get our house in order. We should get our act together. I don't think it's that hard to do. We should get our act together in Washington on spending and everything else. So, and that's what I'm going to fight for.
So, Sean, let me ask you this. When we talk about the debt, and we talk about this enormous debt that the United States now is carrying, we don't have to. We know during Bill Clinton's tenure, they wiped it out, and it isn't the first time. But my question to you is, what does the debt do to us as citizens, as individuals?
Well, when you think about it, we pay interest on that debt, just like you would on your mortgage or your credit card bill. And it's one thing if you got a house or a car, and that's why you take debt, and that debt allows you to create wealth. You know, a business might think of a capital budget where it builds plant and equipment, and that's a good place to take debt. In the case of our country, that would be infrastructure. If we were going to take debt anywhere, we should be building bridges and roads and tunnels and broadband networks and airports and things that will create long-term wealth. But right now, the interest payments on the debt are about to become larger than everything we spend on defense. So if you think about that, if we're spending more on debt payment, interest payments, than we spend on national defense, that's an enormous cost, and it is not one we need to have, right? We can be growing the debt down, and when you have a strong economy, that is the time to do it. In the 1990s, in a bipartisan way, by the way, Republicans in the Congress under Newt Gingrich, working with Bill Clinton, put us on a path where we eliminated the annual deficit and we were paying down the debt by $300 billion a year. and we would have been a debt-free country, zero, debt-free country by 2011, 7 years ago. And then we made a bunch of bad choices. We had these big tax cuts under George W. Bush. We fought two wars without paying for them. We put them on the credit card. And then we did a big prescription drug benefit, Medicare Part D. Democrats signed up for that too, but that was on the credit card. And then the world economy blew up, and the folks were asleep at the switch on derivatives and subprime mortgage loans and everything else. And that created huge obligations and economic dislocation. And you add that all up, and that's where you get your current problem. But we can turn it around. We don't have to do it overnight, but we should grow our way through it over time. Problem is, this big tax bill and this spending bill are taking us in the absolute wrong direction, and it's highly irresponsible at a time of economic growth.
So, I mean, I keep trying to put this together. You're far smarter than I am, but here is my issue. I remember, I'm so old that I remember that the jingle for Pepsi-Cola was twice as much and a nickel too. You know, Coca-Cola is a drink for you. So I think it was Coke. It may have been Pepsi. Now, if that is true and we're now paying, you know, many, 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 many times that for one of those soda drinks that probably does kill us, then money doesn't mean anything, right? I mean, does it, the value of
well,
money
no,
changes?
Here's what means something. If you make $100,000 a year,
right,
and you buy a $250,000 house, you can probably afford that. You can buy a house, you can take debt that's bigger than your annual income because it's giving you a shelter where you can live with your family, your kids go to school, you go to work every day, you can make income, and over time the value of the asset's increasing. Like, debt makes sense in some cases. As a country, we care about the percentage of debt we have relative to our income, our overall GDP, the gross domestic product. So what you really want to watch is debt increasing as a percentage of GDP? It doesn't matter that it's more than it used to be if your economy is bigger. If I make $500,000 a year, my debt relative to my income is actually smaller, even if it goes from $250,000 to $300,000. In other words, what we got to do is we got to grow our economy and shrink debt as a percentage of that overall wealth, and do that over time. And we want it historically below 70% of GDP. We're going to 100% of GDP, and it's not necessary if what you're doing is giving a tax cut to the very wealthiest Americans who are already doing incredibly well right now. We should be asking more of all of us, controlling our spending, prioritizing what we do, and growing through this debt while we can, while we're growing the economy, because we could have a crisis tomorrow. My mom used to say, you got to save for a rainy day. You know, the sun is shining now. We should be fixing the roof. And so I'm very disheartened by the bipartisan collaboration in this nonsense. And they pat themselves on the back and say it's a good deal. That's my example of a wife saying, I'm going to make half as much, honey. You can spend twice as much, and we'll cut a deal. You know, that's a deal where both sides got what they want, but it's going to destroy the family.
It's always wonderful to talk to our friend, Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, who is a Democrat from New York's beautiful, and I do mean beautiful, 18th District.
Yes, it is.
Sean, thank you so much for being with us. And we'll talk to you again. And when we do, I'm going to ask you small problem areas like, should Cynthia Nixon be running for governor?
Okay, great.